Thank you very much for inviting me. On the other hand, this carries an embarrassment because I very rarely speak to audience which includes philosophers, and I will confuse all of you by using many words in a different sense, and the audience here will understand them. And yes? Oh, I have to talk to into this machine. Is it okay now?
Yes.
Okay. And so please be forgivable to the poor computer scientists. okay, and tell me, I like to walk when I speak, so if I will be not loud enough, you raise your hand and I will come back to the microphone. So I will first discuss the problem. I see that everybody is very tired, so I will make a long informal introduction, and it will be actually needed because the problem will have to cut through many ingrained misconceptions. Then I will tell what is my hope to get the way out of this problem, and then I will probably have a small time to touch upon mathematical results which it will bring me. Some will be older results. Actually, I will start with very old results and go through some moderately old, and then to maybe I will have time about recent results, and in particular I will also mention some results of Samuel Epstein. We worked with him on them, but all of this provided I will have some time. On the other hand, if something is unclear, please feel free to raise your hand and I will try to give a short answer. Long answers I will postpone after the thing. So the results will be very simple. The proof will be quite tricky even for the big experts, so I will not be able to tell you anything about the proof. However, proofs, they are all online. You can look at the papers which give a full account. So if you write down these numbers, you will, everybody who is interested could see them. But statements will be very simple, so I hope to completely explain them. But the implications of these statements will require some discussion of Church-Turing thesis, and which is appropriate to this centennial. And you will see that I will advocate some reformation in the Church of Turing. Unlike Martin Luther, I will not discuss 95 new theses. I will discuss only one thesis and old thesis at that, but I will advocate some reformation of it. First of all, I will have to start with the notion of computer, which changed its meaning many times throughout the history. A century ago, a computer was a person. Some of you may know this computer. Her name was Henrietta Swan Leavitt. Computer was her job title at Harvard, where she had to go through big piles of astronomical data and compute various statistics. And while doing that, she discovered an absolutely unexpected method of estimating distances to remote cosmological objects, which was totally unexpected, and the universe, from being a flat picture on the sky, all of a sudden acquired volume, and almost everything we know about the universe and much of what we know about its underlying physics came from this marvelous discovery, and this is more than our computers can do today. So then, with the help of Turing, computer became a uniform ideal model. It had a great beauty, great symmetry, great simplicity, and at the same time a great power, and most of the and lots of the areas of mathematics and other areas in which we working came from this discovery. Still later, again, with some help of Turing, it became a huge, messy machinery. It did occupying whole buildings. It did not have neither beauty nor symmetry nor anything of the sort which Turing machine had, but it had other advantages. First, not least of them was that it actually existed and was very efficient and a great help in many projects, mostly of military nature, which otherwise would be infeasible. Then computer became a sleek, trendy laptop whose nominal function was to do computation, but the actual function was to show the social status of the owner, like Swiss watch, which is not really a time measuring device, but a status symbol. And right now, a computer is just an internet terminal. It does almost no computation, just provides a connection between the user and the internet where the actual computation resides. And the all actual things happen on the internet, and internet has absolutely no resemblance of the Turing machine. It is a soup of huge number of more or less deterministic pieces which are mismatched in different users and with mismatched interests, sometimes opposite interests, and lots of other unpredictables. And in this mess, the much of the notions envisioned by the founders, the notion of computability, much of it lost its relevance. And now we are facing a question: what is better, to start with a simple model and keep adding extensions, excuses, exceptions as needed, or to start from the beginning from a fairly complicated model to develop it, which takes into account many of these aspects, and hope that until the next conference we don't have to make a radical division? This question resembles some other question posed by some young person: what is better, to wash feet regularly and not change socks, or to change socks and not wash feet? And all of these are kind of tough questions to which I don't have convincing answers. And instead, I will take an example from the physicists, who are notorious for changing their models from time to time, even the most fundamental aspects of their models. But there are things which survive all these changes, namely their invariance. No matter how they twist their models, the energy keeps being preserved in momentum, the entropy keeps growing, the funding keeps shrinking, and all these invariants are much more reliable than the models which are supposed to justify their invariant nature. Coming back to the Church-Turing thesis, it is formulated usually this way: that computational problem is solvable if and only if some recursive function, for example, a Turing machine, solves it. And I believe that this thesis is correct. Even so, the reason why it is correct, I think, is much trickier than is usually admitted. If it is correct, if we are talking about computational problem of computing a function which has a unique output for any input, it fails right on its face if we are not restricting ourselves to computing a function. If our computational problem allows different possible outputs for a given input, then the Church thesis is just completely wrong. For example, I will give you a trivial example. Suppose my purpose is to give you given input, give you an output which cannot be produced from this input by a short program, say square root of whatever length. Obviously, Turing machine cannot solve this problem, because the Turing machine will have a short program, so whatever it outputs will be producible by a short program from the input. On the other hand, for the internet, there is nothing more trivial. Everybody knows that internet is absolutely chock full of all sorts of garbage, and you don't even need to have any model of this garbage. Any sort of garbage will produce you the output which cannot be generated by a short program. So this thesis is completely wrong. It is a trivial and somewhat silly example, but since it breaks the general statement, we are faced with the question: what are other things which cannot be computed by a recursive function or by Turing machine and can be easily done by the internet? And more importantly, what are the things which cannot be done by the internet? And it will be naive to think that the founders did not realize these questions. In fact, they were very much bothered by them. I will go to ancient history. Over a century ago, mathematics was in deep crisis, and Hilbert proposed a solution to this crisis. He says that we should use our intuition in choosing our axioms for a mathematical theory, and then completely forget about intuition and prove our theorems completely formally from these axioms. And the axioms should be chosen wisely so that they are consistent, we cannot derive a contradiction, and preferably complete so that every question formulated in this language can be either proven or refuted. And he took Euclidean geometry. He found that Euclidean axioms are not actually complete, something were missing, so he added these missing axioms and proved that the resulting theory is consistent and complete. And it made such a great impression that the feeling of crisis almost immediately disappeared from the mathematics, and he stated this problem to do the same for other theories, starting with piano arithmetic, which is a familiar theory which has some algebraic axioms and an infinite sequence of induction axioms, and he suggested to prove that it is consistent and complete, and if not complete, add axioms which would make it complete. And then Gödel shocked everybody by showing that any sequence of axioms which can complete arithmetic, provided it is consistent, cannot be recursive, so it cannot be generated by a Turing machine. And it was a big shock, and many people, probably most people, considered it as a complete defeat of Gilbert's problem, but not Gilbert himself. I think he never accepted this as a defeat, and even Gödel did not think so. And let me just read, Gödel said, it is a quotation, "Namely, it turns out that in the systematic establishment of the axioms of mathematics, new axioms which do not follow by formal logic from those previously established, again and again become evident. It is not at all excluded by the negative results mentioned earlier," which meaning his theorem and incompleteness, "that nevertheless, every clearly posed mathematical yes or no question is solvable in this way. For it is just this becoming evident of more and more new axioms on the basis of the meaning of the primitive notions that a machine cannot imitate. In other words, the Turing machine cannot complete the arithmetic, but Wikipedia can." So we can keep, we have more wisdom, we understand the primitive notions, and we can socialize on our congresses and make some deals and add new axioms.
I'll look up the Riemann hypothesis on Wikipedia tomorrow morning.
Not tomorrow morning, but eventually. So, do not argue with me, argue with Gödel, yes? I think he was wrong, but argue with him. There are not actually so many open problems. Open famous problems, somehow they keep being resolved. Not tomorrow morning, but in 3 years you may find Riemann hypothesis. If any mass question, if all of them are ultimately solvable, then nothing like Church-Turing thesis can limit our abilities, which is good for those of you who are on the light side of the force, but for us, evil theorists who like negative results, it's a horrible perspective. But the Empire strikes back, and I will restate the Church-Turing thesis so that it will be absolute, it will limit the abilities of Internet and Wikipedia and listen as effectively as the usual formulation of the Church's thesis limits the Turing machine. And to start this, I have to give you some example of something impossible. Yes, something which would be absolutely impossible even for wise mathematicians negotiating axioms in their congresses or whatever. And however wise they are, and however deeply they understand primitive concepts, they will not be able to guess my password. If they are restricted to a legal means, I was once once was making these talk in the audience, which include Russians, and they were laughing because they can, if they are not limited to legal means, means they can kidnap me and torture the passport out of me, or they can send me email about my Nigerian inheritance and dupe me into revealing the password. So for to avoid this need to restrict the means to legal means, because I want the thesis to be absolute, I will use a password which I don't know myself. I will use what I call the Turing password. Namely, the halting problem. Turing have proven that this is an uncomputable halting problem. Of course, he did not know the values. It is perfectly defined by a simple mathematical statement, sequence, but Turing did not know its digit. Now, on heaven, he of course knows them, but now it's impossible to kidnap him and torture this postcard out of him. So I will use the Turing password, and I will claim that there is no way to generate a sequence which has any significant information about this Turing password. It is impossible to generate, if you don't have information, it is impossible to generate information about my password, and the same thing, it will be impossible. So whatever you produce will have almost no information about my password and about Turing password, which the second one is important for me. So the ultimate internet computability thesis is like this, that no sequence physically present in the world can have a significant information about mathematically definable sequence. So I will explain what I mean by significant. By significant, I mean that I neglect some small numbers. For example, a mathematically defined sequence has some mathematical statement which defines it. It doesn't allow to compute the sequence necessarily, but it allows to define it. And the number of bits in this statement, which is usually small, I will ignore, I will consider it insignificant. About physical sequence, it has some address, for example, IP address on the internet, where you can find this file. So both sequences can have much more information than their address. The file could be huge, but the IP address will be very short. And the mathematical sequence can be uncomputable and can have a huge amount of information. The notion of information is defined in such a way that the computable sequence doesn't have more information than the algorithms that compute it. So it could be uncomputable, it could have a huge amount of information, but defined by a small predicate, which is for example, in halting problem, it's very small predicate. So if you buy this thesis, there are some unexpected consequences. For example, the set of all publications of American Mathematical Society has almost no information about the set of all true statements of arithmetic, because one is a physical sequence, the other is a mathematical sequence. You shouldn't be too disappointed that publications of Mathematical Society have very little, almost no information about truth of mathematical statements, because the sequence of true statements of arithmetic has almost no information about the stock market. So you should not be very much upset by this. So, suppose you get this statement and ignore these disappointing aspects. What mathematical insight does it give us? Surprisingly, quite a lot. And it is much stronger than the usual thesis, because the usual formulation of Church's thesis would prevent you or physical sequence to coincide, to be exactly the same as a mathematical sequence. And this prohibits them to have any mutual information. They must be informationally completely orthogonal. You can derive much more consequences from that. So, for example, coming back to the Gödel beliefs that mathematicians can use their wisdom and deep understanding of notions to keep adding axioms and eventually resolve all mathematical questions. Suppose mathematicians do this for 100 years, billion years, zillion years, doesn't matter for how long, they keep adding axioms and they are wise, so they never run into inconsistencies, and eventually they resolve, maybe not all, but at least all n bit statements, all short mathematical statements of n bits. Then they will run into one of the three problems necessarily. Is this theory which will have more than n bits information? It is true for every axiomatic theory, for any set of axioms that can come about, and for every n. One of the three problems will come up. It will have more than n bits information about Hölting problem, which would violate my thesis and make me very upset. Or it will leave unresolved some n-bit statements, or it will be inconsistent. And this is true for absolutely any set of axioms, whichever they find. So if they cannot violate my formulation of Church-Turing thesis, then the first will not happen. Therefore, either they will leave some n-bit statements unresolved, or they will be inconsistent. This is actually quite tricky to prove. It would be trivial to prove if I only want to prove that it will not be true, or it will be not omega consistent. But to prove that it actually will be plainly inconsistent is very tricky. And I need to prove that it is inconsistent, because just to say that it is not true, I think Gilbert and maybe many other people will say that truth is in the eye of the beholder. So he only cared about actual consistency. This is tricky to prove. And I will come back to this to explain some misinterpretations which may be given to this statement, which caused some experts to be sometimes requiring a lot of convincing. So I will comment a little bit more on that, because this sounds a bit strong as it could possibly be true, but it is not. I will come into another statement which is related to our work with Samuel Epstein, who is here. This will require some introduction, because it requires the notion of inductive inference and Occam razor and things like that, with which some people here, many people probably, most are not very familiar. So I will explain it with imagining my murder trial. So I stand the murder trial, and the evidence against me is quite flimsy. So the first piece of evidence against me is that I was caught with bloody knife at the door of the victim minutes after he was killed inside with this knife. The second piece of the flimsy evidence against me is that a video camera caught me holding this knife to the victim moments before his demise. And of course my lawyer, I hired some good lawyer from Garland, and he explains that there is absolutely nothing incriminating in that. It is no evidence at all. What actually happened was this. I brought this knife to my friend to boast how wonderful it is in cleaning fish. And then somebody jumped from the door, grabbed the knife, killed my friend, jumped away. I, horrified, removed the knife from the wound. But my friend was not moving, so I ran outside to call for help. And overzealous neighbors caught me and brought to this trial. So it is perfectly logical, but I am afraid that unlike this audience, my jury are not logicians. And I am afraid that they will be more inclined to believe a simple theory presented by the prosecution. But why? It is shocking. Are they so lazy that they would not think about slightly more complicated theory, even if my life is at stake on that? Unfortunate aspect is that it is not because they are lazy, but because they are spoiled by Occam razor. And I will talk a little bit about Occam razor principle. Which is the basis of inductive inference and many other things. In the words which are attributed to Einstein, which, however, I never found where he said that, but it is commonly attributed, a conjecture should be as simple as it can be, but not simpler than it can be. But It is a very convincing principle which people usually adhere to, but it is somewhat mysterious why people should look at the simplest conjectures. And a beautiful explanation came from Ray Solomonov. His mathematical technique to formulate it was not very consistent, but it could be improved. And the philosophy behind it was very convincing. However, this philosophy will come with COVID, which puzzled me for a very long time, and we will come to that. So what was Solomonov's explanation? He said that there is a universal probability distribution on all possible objects, including all possible theories of what happened in this story. And so we filter out, take only theories which are consistent with our observations, and they form a set D, and the universal probability and then universal probability of all objects will be conditioned to the set D, and universal probability happened to be equal to the 2 to the minus complexity of the object. So the complexity is the shortest description, the shortest program which can generate this particular object. So the simplest theories will have the greatest likelihood, and if the theory is more complicated, its likelihood will be negligible. So it is not because of laziness, but because of the likelihood the jury will stick to the simplest theory. However, this comes with a caveat that even so, the complicated each individual complicated theory, which will have much smaller probability, universal probability, than the simplest theories. But there are very many different complicated theories, and combined probability of all complicated theories may be very large, and the probability of the simple theories may be negligible compared to the combined probability of all complicated theories. So the jury...
Can we say maybe rather than is?
It depends on the set D. You can easily construct a set D or prove existence of a set D is a way which consists only of one simple theory or a small number of complicated or of all. It depends on what kind of evidence the KGB planted to jury to consider the issue. This could be either way. Mathematically, you can easily prove that there are sets of either way. So maybe the jury was very wrong in dismissing so easily the complicated theory. Maybe the actual complicated theory is a much more reasonable thing because the combined probability is much heavier than any single theory or even all simple theories. And it's easy to prove existence of such sets D is a way. What turned out that this could not happen because any set D where this happens has lots of information about Hawking problem. So if you cannot generate strings which have, if KGB wants to plant evidence to confuse the jury in this way, they will have to take out Turing from his heaven and torture his password out of him, which even KGB probably cannot do. Again, the proof is very, very difficult. I should not exaggerate, but not easy even for experts, but the statement seems to be very simple. Basically, if a set has a small information about Hawking problem, then it could not have combined probability of all objects significantly larger than universal probability of a single simplest object. How much time do I still have? It seems I have 8 minutes until 6:30, and I still need to leave some time for questions. But
certainly, if you can go to 6:30 and then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to just go a little bit back, and discuss a little bit about this theory, because I did see a lot of confusion about that. So the confusing thing about this theory is that it seems like any consistent extension of Peano arithmetic will help us to compute the Hölting problem, which sounds paradoxical to the experts, because the set of all consistent extensions of Peano arithmetic is a so-called core RE set. Its complement is enumerable. And it is known that every core RE set has absolutely useless objects. So it is easy to show that in any core RE set, for example, there is a theorem of Muchnik that if there is a sequence which can be reduced to all elements of core RE set, then it can be computed without any reduction. And the same thing about complexity. But the problem is that information, even so in core RE sets, there are necessarily absolutely useless elements. Information is not something very useful. Information, which any such theory will have about Hölting problem, is something very expensive. It's impossible to get in any way. But once you get it, it cannot be really used very well unless you also know the complexity of this object. So in order to use the information which is in your axiomatic system, you will need to know, first of all, of course, this axiomatic system which philosophers will provide you, and also complexity of this system. And there is a brilliant and very tricky theorem by Peter Gudge that it's impossible to compute. Everybody knows that it is impossible to compute complexity from the object, but basically Peter proves that object has almost no information about its complexity. There are objects whose complexity requires the same length of program whether you know the object or not. So here my statement just says that you cannot get such an information. It's very expensive. It's impossible to do. But once you get it, it will not necessarily be useful unless you also know the complexity of this axiomatic system. Thank you very much.
What are you going to say about Church's thesis?
About Church's thesis, I reformulated it in this way. Sequence physically present, I call it Church Turing thesis, because Church's arguments were absolutely unconvincing. Turing arguments were much more convincing. No sequence physically present in the world can have significant information about sequences which can be defined mathematically. Thank you very much. Wash socks, wash feet, and wash socks. I think it was, for this particular young man, it was already far too much. We need to convince him to do one of these two things, but to argue for both, it would be.
The point is that sometimes we go in streams.
Ah.
And the point is that sometimes we go in streams, for example.
So when you have a son of 10 years old, you will probably change your opinion about that.
We can't tell him that he can do it half as frequently if he does it both at the same time.
Ah, okay, maybe it's a tricky thing. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Coming to our 2 days, and let's give a big round of applause to all of our speakers again for being here. We hope to see you back again for some of our future events. I encourage you to visit us online at BU. www.edu/cbhs. We'll come back to some of our